Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Miller and Condon here on a Thursday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller, 10 to noon, as we talk sports with you for the next couple of hours. Thanks for joining us here this morning. The BMW of Des Moines guest list has the following. This is how it shapes up. Bottom of the hour, thereabouts. We'll try and get as close to 10:30 as we can. Bobby Hanson is going to join us. We're going to pick his NBA brain, pick his Iowa brain, Keegan, Chris, etc. Talk to Bobby Hanson. Haven't done so in a while. Looking forward to catching up with the former Hawk, former NBA, or former NBA champion with those Chicago Bulls team. Bobby Hanson, our only guest in the first hour of the program. We will talk Minnesota sports with Dane Muzzitani to kick off the second hour. Twins will be a part of it. Vikings will be a part of it. Maybe a little Timberwolves and Wild sprinkled in. With Dane Muzzitani. He writes for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. He'll join us at 11:05. And then we'll head from Minneapolis to Chicago, where David Kaplan, who had to switch up his appearance this week, normally Wednesday at 11:30, but he had a commitment yesterday. So he will be with us today at 11:30, Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors. Well, lots of ground to cover, lots of places we can start, of course. A lot of eyeballs on television sets tonight is whatever side you're rooting for. Be a long way to go before the CFL determines. Where did you think I was going?
I thought you were going here. I thought this is where we're starting today. How about those Minnesota Twins?
Trent, I watched a lot of it last night. I'm in to them. They finally got by their nemesis.
For one game.
Chris Archer, and he was really good. Yeah. Took him out after five last night, which is... Now, is that the normal?
It is. So this is something that Rocco and the front office staff with Falvey and Levine, they've been big into this, is they went out and got acquired these veterans. Chris Archer dealt with injuries now for, what, a half decade?
Yep.
I mean, it's been a long time.
Hasn't been the same since he got to Pittsburgh.
Right. The Chris Archer that we initially knew as he was thrust onto the scene.
And the Pirates thought they were getting.
Yeah. Dylan Bundy. Guys like this that... Right. Are fine. They're number four, number five starters, and you're maybe hoping they can be a three. But in order to do that, the easiest way to do it in baseball, and this is across the line, and it doesn't matter what pitcher you look at, from Randy Johnson to a career journeyman, third time through the order, just how much the difference is in batting.
It makes a huge difference.
And they said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take these guys, we're going to, and if it's four innings, if it's five, if it's three and two thirds, but for the most part, we are going to just do what these guys can do best two times through the order, and that's basically going to be it. Archer last night only had 70 pitches.
Yeah.
He was very efficient. Mm-hmm. He'd been kind of a four-inning pitcher, and they got five out of him. They're probably happy with that, certainly against the
Yankees
lineup.
Left with the 2-1 lead, Trent, and it could have been 2-zip. I think his first hit was in the fifth inning
that
he gave up.
He was cruising along early on. Nestor was doing the same. Yeah.
He's fun to watch. But you know what I like about Nestor? He doesn't take long between pitches.
No, he does not.
He gets the signal and goes into his windup, and he pitches. And you'll love that about him.
This is the second biggest win for the Twins this millennium since 2000 against the Yankees.
That's wild. Yeah, that's wild. Look, Cortez wasn't bad last night.
No. Jeffers got him for a home run. Defense wasn't great. Stanton was a disaster in right field. He had one play about hit him in the head, another one where hit off the wall, had a long run over to the line, got there, and then didn't make the play.
So that was that late in the game?
Those were, but decently early for the most part. Yeah.
Because I was gone probably, I don't know. I watched a lot of the NBA. Boy, was I wrong on that. Get to that in a second.
Both swung and missed
Holy
on that one.
Holy mackerel.
For a night, the Twins get the win. Mm-hmm. All right. The Demons are not exercised. They're still an 18-game playoff losing streak. You still lost 13 straight to the Yankees in the playoffs. And, and if they see them again, that is still going to rear. They're not going to remember June 8th. Remember June 8th. That's not going to be.
We could look back.
Is that going to be the calling card? But for a night, it was a fun night of baseball. And had it on up in the booth last night as I was calling high school baseball.
Yeah, where you had Johnston and
Valley
last night.
Yep, so just had the short trip over to Valley last night. Johnston took game 1-7-4, and then the nightcap that we had 10-3, the win for the Dragons. They're 18-1 now. Mm-hmm. Johnston is just so good. Mm-hmm. They grind out at bats. This is not the same team that we've seen in the past that had the stars. You know, they had a bunch of D1 players and guys that are high-level talents. This is more of a grinded-out kind of team. But the way that they battle, the way that they make it difficult for any pitcher that is out there, they're the number one team, and they should be the number one mm-hmm. team. So did that. And Lucas Strain, who played for Urbandale a couple years back on the state championship team, he was with me up in the booth last night. He's going to do a couple of games this summer for us as well. Really fun to get his perspective and him talking about
it. So how old is he now?
He's going to be a senior in college. He'll be a senior at Iowa this year.
Yeah.
And he started the state championship game, that Urbandale-Johnston mm-hmm. championship. Talking about the rivalry between Urbandale and Johnston was really fun to get his perspective. And just, we talk about Dowling Valley, right?
Yeah. In fall.
And it's a good rivalry. But those are really, I mean, it's a friendly rivalry for the most part. Swenson and Wilson have so much respect
absolutely.
For each other.
Yep.
They grew up. They played youth football together. They're neighbors. Urbandale-Johnston baseball. I mean, they are the two behemoths. And the way their youth programs are run, I mean, you learn to hate each other early on. And it starts when you're playing 7U, you know, baseball. And it goes from there. And I love that rivalry. I love that aspect. I know they play in a couple of weeks. Hopefully I'll be able to get out there and do that ball game just because that rivalry. For me, in terms of hatred, dislike, and it's not like that in other sports too. That's the funny. It is like a
well,
baseball
Ankeny
only
and
thing.
Southeast Polk had a little.
Oh yeah, they did
back in the what 05, 06
yep.
somewhere in that.
That was
there
the
was
one
hatred.
That I heard about too when yeah. I came here. And yes,
that was legit. I mean, the coach. No, that was East and Ankeny. The coaches had a set too.
Oh really?
Yeah, yeah. Uh huh. Not sure it got a lot of coverage.
Yeah.
on that particular night. Yeah, that was good. But there have been occasional rivals like this. So, speaking of Urbandale, they're in the news football-wise. Kai Black.
Yes.
You've had to have seen him play.
I have a couple of times, yep.
So give us your take on the, I don't know if he's the newest Cyclone, but he's certainly one of. I'm not sure anybody else signed after him, but he's going to be a Cyclone. What do you know about him?
He is a guy that's a very intriguing prospect. He's already got huge size. You know, he's a big guy. Mm-hmm. And
had a bunch of pretty good offers.
Oh, absolutely. There's people that think maybe he would grow into a tight end, but maybe he's in the Alan Lazard camp where,
by the way, Alan Lazard tweeted about him.
He's really good. I've heard about Kai Black since he was a freshman.
Have you?
That was one of those kids that, hey, yeah. watch out for this one. He could see it right away. I think he is a perfect piece for what Iowa State does, taking over the spot, you know, that outside position. If he grows into a tight end, great. I don't know if that's Iowa State's plan with him. Much like Lazard, I think the plan ultimately is he's going to be a receiver. But very angular guy, good track speed. He's got all the pieces there. In an Urbandale offense that has adapted and changed, Coach Anderson, he's moved with the times, going back to the old days when they're having the slapbacks and mm-hmm. you know those kind of things, and they've evolved into a 21st century offense and having a guy like that. I've really liked him, really liked the talent, and he's a guy that, at least what I see, it feels like his best football is still in front of him. He's got a lot of upside still to him, you know, getting through routes and learning that kind of part of the receiver position. I think there's a lot of good football still ahead for Kai Black.
Very interesting. Well, since we're talking high school, a couple more notes. Aaron Graves yesterday, see the honor that he was bestowed?
Isn't that wild?
It's incredible, this kid, Trent. I can't wait to watch him play. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he's half as good as we anticipate yeah. he's going to be, right? That would make him awful darn good.
Yeah.
He's the Max Preps Athlete of the Year.
Not Football Player of the Year.
No, Athlete of the Year.
Athlete.
Right, because of his wrestling, et cetera, yes. too.
And basketball. Where
right.
he wrestled in the state tournament and then went and did, right. played
same
the district
day.
Basketball game
yeah.
on the same day. He is...
Just some of the players, the people that have won this in the past.
Yeah.
Do you have that list?
I don't know.
Okay, so Jalen Suggs.
That's a good one.
Lonzo Ball.
Uh-huh.
Kyler Murray.
Wow. A
couple more. Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And that kid who, I can't think of his name. Quarterback in Kansas City.
Oh, Petro.
That would be him, yeah.
Wow.
That's the list that Aaron Graves joined.
That's incredible.
Mahomes, Henry, Suggs, Ball, Murray.
I know Xavier Wampa has all the buzz, the five-star mm-hmm. rating and everything else, but Aaron Graves was very close to him in the national rankings. Michigan was involved early. Ohio State was involved with him early, but he committed to Iowa so early. I wonder if he wouldn't have committed. As a freshman.
Good point.
You know, if he took his recruitment up to the 11th hour right. like Wampa did,
yeah.
if our conversation, I think, because statewide people always want, I get this all the time. What about Xavier?
Yeah.
I don't get Aaron Graves. Now, mm-hmm. I, of course, didn't also call Aaron Graves' right. games, but right. if it would have went to that level, if we would have heard, heard Alabama and Clemson being involved, and oh, hey, he's going down to Miami this week. You know, those kind of stories, just how different I think maybe the buildup and the excitement would be for Aaron Grace. Because, you know, every time we talk to a recruiting analyst, we talk to Tom Cakert and people 24/7, Ike Holt and company, they talk about our national guys absolutely love him. And he's gone to the big camps, and he's gone to the Army All-American game, and he has dominated when he's gone to those big places. Mm-hmm. From a small school to do those kind of things, it's a great story of Iowa, and it's another reason that we love our in-state guys at Iowa and Iowa State. Just these kind of stories are so fun.
You know who he looks like? He looks like Paul Hornung when Paul Horning's young.
Oh, yeah?
I think that's the first thing I thought of when you see Paul Hornung.
Oh, yeah, I can see it, yeah.
At Notre Dame, right, or back in the early Packers.
The picture that he's got his helmet in his arm, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And the curly blonde hair. Uh-huh. Kind of, they do kind of look alike. Anyways, well, Guy Black's a Cyclone. Aaron Graves is freak, and good for him joining that list. By the way, I read the piece, Randy Peterson's piece in the Des Moines Register on Hunter Deckers. Have you read it?
I have not, no.
Man, there's a lot of, and I get it, like, nobody does buzz like Iowa State in the summer months, right?
When the offseason.
They do. I'm starting to wonder, yesterday we talked about the point spread, right? And we both said, well, you know, as of June, the whatever it was, 7th, we're going to, this is how I feel, but, you know, don't hold me to it.
Right.
If we just mentioned if Graves is half as good, if Hunter Deckers is you know, close to what he's being advertised and talked about, he lost all this weight. Is Hutchinson's raving about him?
He can move around too. He's a big guy now, not as big anymore after the weight loss that he had, but he's a guy that always could move around. And watching him at the high school levels, he threw for 10,000 yards, doing it, small school football, but he was putting up big numbers. But as a big guy, it wasn't he was just chucking it around. He can make plays with his feet, and you add that element to it, a guy that can move around a little bit, you can move the pocket. We know he's got incredibly strong
arm. And 20 pounds lighter, you think he'd be able to move around a little quicker.
Absolutely.
But the thing about him is it was good for him that he got some playing time last
year.
Like, he played a lot. Remember, they took Brock Purdy out of the Cy-Hawk game last year.
Yeah, he was benched.
And he was benched, and Decker came in on that one, and that wasn't his only playing time last year. So, you know, he's throwing touchdown passes, he's running around a little bit, we've seen glimpses of him. I'm anxious to see him play.
What was the other game that he played quite a bit? Was it Oklahoma game?
Well, might have been, or Oklahoma State.
Let me find the game log here for Hunter Deckers. Yeah, Oklahoma came into that one 5-9, 29 yards, had a touchdown and a pick. And that pick,
and that was his only pick of the year that they threw.
Right, yeah. Had a touchdown against Iowa late in that game. Played also against UNLV and Kansas during the season. So we finished 20-36 last year. Two touchdowns, one interception, 193 yards in that limited duty. But you kind of shake off that nervousness, that first time feeling
it,
that you have.
Yeah,
it'll be different trotting out there with the first snap of the game. And there's nobody pushing him. There's
not this year.
No, there's.
But there's pressure on him because he's the quarterback at Iowa State, and they lost all that. And if they're going to get the bowl eligibility, and Campbell's team's not going to take a step back, it's the most important player position on the field. So we'll see. We've done all we can to avoid talking about how wrong we were on the NBA game last night. Trent, it's just.
We had it in the third quarter.
They took the lead. I mean, Golden State was never in this basketball game, with one exception, the 12 minutes that they came out of the locker room. But then the fourth quarter was just embarrassing. If you had Golden State or you were rooting for Golden State, it was they got killed again. Curry had a couple of turnovers. Now, the question with Curry is him and Al Horford got tangled up a little bit. And Curry, the bad news is that of the way that these games have been set up with the 3 nights between the games, this is the one and only occurrence in this NBA final where there's only 48 hours between games. So you certainly think that Curry could use the extra day to get himself, you know, back to close to 100%. All I know is what he said after the game, and he said after the game that he's going to be fine, that he's going to play, that he'll be out there for game four. But man, oh man, these Celtics last night, they took it to him right off the bat. They took it to him right from the gun. And Draymond Green was not good by any means. Draymond Green stunk last night. Thompson was good.
He was.
Thompson was good.
For the second and third quarter. And he didn't score. Yeah. He didn't score in the first quarter.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. But he got it going.
Yep.
And then he started because he was started. Did he start 0 for 3? I think.
Is that what it was?
0 for 3 or 0 for 4. But then he started to make some shots. And you could start to see that confidence build a little bit. But Boston was just, they were just the better team.
Jaylen Brown was great early on.
He was. Williams was terrific. I mean,
and then where did that come from? Because he had been kind of missing action here the last couple of weeks.
Trent, as much as the box score will tell you one thing, how he was good. You know what else he was? He didn't take any of Draymond Green's crap.
Right. And he won't.
No, he won't.
No.
Absolutely. He wasn't going to let him chirp at him. But you're right. Brown was terrific. Brown, was it Brown that Curry picked up his fourth foul
early on the dive.
I mean, what an awful call.
Oh, yeah.
Just a terrible call. But I'm not sure it would have made a difference. Boston was the better team last night. So I've come full circle again.
Right again.
I mean.
You are the opposite of a zigzag guy.
No.
You fall into the latest is the greatest with you all the time. Again, I joke with you, but I understand why you do not bet day to day.
I couldn't do it.
You were overreactionary to everything that you last saw. Mm-hmm. And a perfect example.
Well, it was their length yesterday. It was Boston's length.
Have you seen the series price, how much that shifted?
Now, I don't remember what it was, so I'm going to say, John, we'll get to you in a second. Stay there. I do want to talk to you.
Because going into Game 3, it was minus 115 Celts, minus 105 Celtics, minus 115 for Golden State, or vice versa. But
I think it probably, I don't know what it was.
But it was really close.
So now it's Golden State is minus 200 Boston plus 160.
No, yeah, absolutely. Celtics are the favorite.
I mean, yeah, Golden State, rather. Golden State minus 200.
225. And you can get the Warriors at circa plus 195.
Holy mackerel.
Now, I'm pot invested on both sides. We had that Pacific wager that we both made back in April.
Saver.
And then I had the Boston one that they were down 3-2 in the Miami series. When was that I hopped on and got that? So I'm in good shape either way. If I didn't have a pending bet, though, on both sides, I'd probably still be looking at the Warriors at that price, basically 2-1.
Yeah.
The series isn't over. And Friday night, the quick turnaround.
And Curry's hurt, Trent. Don't forget. He says he's going to play, says he'll be fine. But boy, oh boy, it'd be much better for Golden State if he didn't have to play till Saturday.
Heart of a champion. Uh-huh. I believe in Golden State bouncing back. And we're maybe finally going to get a good game on Friday night.
Fingers crossed. We're due. Let's get John in here. Bobby Hansen coming up in about 10 minutes. Hi, John. Thanks for being patient. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine, thanks. Good show again, guys. I'll be quick, because I'm sure I'll come up on a break here. But no, I'm just going back to the Brock Purdy story. I remember that game against Oklahoma. Purdy got knocked out in the second half. He was he got his bell rung in that game, and then Deckers came in, drove him down the field for a score, and then they brought Purdy back in the next offensive series. I'm saying, really? The guy just let you down the field to a touchdown. I mean, that's one of the few times you want to question Tom Manning or Matt Campbell on who to put in as your signal caller. But good grief, he just not only went down the field, but he led you to a touchdown and got you within striking distance of the Sooners on their home turf. But, you know, like TC, it's kind of like you and I being Twins fans, kind of like Royce Lewis hitting a grand slam for the Twins and saying, what are you doing sending him down to St. Paul? Uh-huh, again? Right. You know?
Yeah. John, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
All right.
I'm looking forward to watching him play.
I really am too.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking back at that Oklahoma, the drive chart there. So Deckers threw the interception right when he came in. It was the second play that he had come in. They get the ball back. Purdy's still not ready. They come in. Deckers with a completion to Hutchinson, completion to Kohler, and then the touchdown on the third down play there. So that's how they got going. It was a 12-yard touchdown pass. But then right after that, it was Purdy came back in. They went 3-and-out, scored a touchdown to make it 28-21. And then as they're driving late in that game, down a touchdown, Purdy had the ball intercepted on 4th and 10 from the 21.
Close game. They play Oklahoma tough.
Yes, they do.
They've had that, which is another reason I was surprised they moved that game off Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Vautech, I don't know. We shall see. All right, 20 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, Bobby Hansen coming up. Looking forward to talking to Bobby about the NBA, what he's seen. You know, Chris Murray, Keegan Murray, those type of things. I'll ask him about Jordan Bohannon, too. I'm going to miss Bohannon, Trent.
Yeah.
I am. I'm going to miss Bohannon. I enjoyed watching his career.
you said what? His missed free throw is...
Oh, it's the all-time for me.
Yeah.
It's the most memorable play I've seen out of a Cyclone or a Hawkeye. And it was a missed free throw, but it was purposely missed to not break Chris Street's record. I mean, that was the classiest move. I had a tear in my eye watching it.
I'm excited, though.
Move on to see the next roster? Yeah, I get that.
They have had 12 years of Fran McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
10 of those 12 years has had either Mike Cassell or Jordan Bohannon at the point guard spot. Those guys were fine.
Yeah.
Good players. Good college players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what DeSonte Bowen's going to be. Now, we've heard varying reports about him. But if he is what Fran McCaffrey envisions, if he is that point guard that has size at 6'3", can go off the bounce, can get to the rim, can be a playmaker along with the facilitator. And we know point guard in the Iowa offense, you're going to put up numbers, right? I mean, Bryce Cartwright, found him on the scrap heap in July.
Cartwright, yeah.
And he had a monster season with Iowa. If DeSonte Bowen is that, I'm ready for something different. And it was never Joe Toussaint. He had too many limitations. Mm-hmm. And it very well could prove that.
Where did he end up? Did he St. John's, Syracuse? Where did he
West Virginia.
End up? West Virginia. That's right, West Virginia.
Going out and playing with Huggy
Bear.
That's
right, West Virginia.
And that'll be really good for his style. Defensive intensity, full court. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be good for Joe Toussaint. But he was never going to be the guy that I think is a point guard that a lot of people wanted to see in the Fran offense. You go back to when he had Ronald Moore at Siena and some of those Siena teams and how good they were at the point guard position in the backcourt. Just a different kind of guy. That's what I'm excited to see. See what this offense that you know is going to be good, it's going to be efficient. And if they have a different type of point guard, what it can be. Or maybe it's my dude Tony Perkins. I'm still hanging on to that one.
What if final month of the season for him?
Yeah, if not full-time.
No.
10, 12, 15 minutes a game, him running the point, his ability to just put his head down and barrel in. And he's a fun player to watch and to see what that could look like if Bowen isn't ready. If Euless doesn't take a step that he certainly needs to offensively this year, what that can be like. So I know I'm not alone in that thought, too. Bohannon, great Hawkeye. Mike Cassell, great Hawkeye. Ready to see something different.
No, I understand. I understand. Last thing before we get to our break, the PGA, the commissioner of the PGA, Monahan, with Jay Monahan, it came out last night that the PGA is waiting for the PGA Tour members that have gone to LIV Golf to put their tee in the ground and to begin play.
Mm-hmm.
And once they did, they was going to send out the letter. Notify all of the players that they're suspended. So they're out. They're done from the PGA. What does that mean? There's a battle amongst these two leagues.
Uh-huh.
This is going to be fun to watch play out, Trent, because the LIV Tour, as we know, has got a bottomless supply of money. The PGA Tour is where the best players are going to play. How long before the PGA Tour players realize that these guys over there, they're nowhere near as good as we are, and they're making X amount of times more than us.
8, 10, 12 times more.
Money.
Just showing up.
Right. Even if these guys have made all the money that they'll ever need playing golf, you know it's a pride thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pride thing when it comes to money. Look at players' contracts.
Have you flipped it on yet?
I haven't. Where would you find it?
LIVGolf.com.
And they're showing it?
Yep. Watching Phil right now as he is teeing off on number 9, playing in London. And yeah, they got the big scoreboard up on the left side.
Do you have volume?
I can get volume, yeah.
Why don't you play a little bit of it so we
think
can
of the past, I thought.
Yeah.
Three-quarter swing, one iron.
Because what, they got the soccer guy, right, Arlo?
No.
Yeah.
Here's Brandon Grace.
Brandon Grace trying to save par. 9 to play.
Sounds like golf.
It sounds like, what are the crowds like? Can you see, the
dozens
galleries?
Dozens in it.
That's it?
I've only seen one cutaway here. I'll keep an eye on it.
All right, livegolf.com. Bobby Hanson coming up next, 10:25. Miller and Condon underway on a Thursday. We're going to head to the Twin Cities, catch up with Dane Mazzitani. Look forward to doing that. Twins finally beat their nemesis last night, those dreaded New York Yankees. We'll do some Vikings as well with Dane Mazzitani. David Kaplan at 11:30, Centurion Stone of Iowa sponsors Cappy. Miller and Condon on a Thursday. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
It's your place.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Here's Ken and Trent.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. We take you until noon. Right now, let's get our friend Bobby Hanson in here. Of course, the color analyst for Hawkeye men's basketball, former NBAer, a world champion in his own right, and he joins us. Bobby Trenton, Ken, thanks for coming on, Bobby Hansen. How are you?
Hey, man, doing okay. Over here in the Quad Cities right now at work, we have a big luncheon where we honor some businesses and students, award scholarships. So, yeah, that goes off at noon, so good to talk to you.
Well, good to talk to you, Bobby. You know, let's do the NBA before we get into the Hawks. Want to pick your brain on Keegan and Chris and the roster, et cetera. Look, I was completely wrong in Game 3 last night. I thought Golden State kind of was about to take over this series after what we saw in Game number 2. Bobby, does the Celtics' length, is that what's presenting the biggest problem for Golden State?
Yeah, it's definitely a problem. Kenny, but it's also their youth. I think, you know, you got two stars, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, are on the verge of breaking out, being stars. And Marcus Smart, you know, he gives you that third option last night, and they're doing it with defense, good old fashioned. You know, get tough, and you know they're not backing down to Draymond Green and what he's trying to muck it up.
You look at the evolution of what we have seen from basketball, and certainly NBA basketball, where, for a lot of times, it just feels like a three-point contest. You hit over 40% of your threes, you're going to win. If you're struggling shooting the ball, you're going to lose. This style of basketball that you see today, you're a shooter, Bobby. Do you like this style compared to the era that you played in, or has it become just too much of that, too much shooting and not enough else?
Well, I think it's exciting. I mean, I like the three-point shot. I think sometimes too many three-pointers are shot in the NBA game. There's nobody inside, and you know, I go back to Iowa's Luka Garza. I mean, he was kind of discounted as, well, he's not an NBA new era player right now, but you know, he would dominate inside in there. So yeah, I don't know. It is what it is, and you got great shooters. It's brought little guys back into the game. You look at Steph, you look at Trae Young, Ja Morant. You know, those guys would get pounded 35 years ago. They'd be knocked to the floor every time, but now the middle is wide open, so you're seeing guys able to, you know, isolate. It's bringing, who do you want to go against? They're always bringing, Boston is always bringing Steph's guy over so he can be isolated over there. He's got to be a better defender, but he's still, you know, small, and he's an offensive player. So it's just the evolution of the game. I got no problem with it, but back to my original comment, guys, I like the youth. I like the youth that Boston has and the job that rookie coach has done here.
And yet it's a veteran that gets my attention, Bobby, and it's hard not to root for Horford, right? Been in the league as long as he has, finally getting to, you know, to play in the finals. And he's been a big contributor during this postseason.
Yeah. You know, his consistency a little bit off, but, you know, he's getting up there. But he got him off to a great start in Game 1. That's the one that I figured Golden State would blow him out in that one. So it was completely the other way, and now Golden State come back, and it'll be a good game Friday night. But yeah, Al Horford, man, you got to cheer for him. Good guy, and they got a lot of players. It looks to me, just, you know, waking up and watching SportsCenter, some highlights, Boston has more better players, if that's fair, and they're healthier than Golden State is right now.
Bobby, do you remember Draymond Green? I mean, it's been a while since he was at Michigan State, right? Did he have this kind of attitude, or was he this type of player? I don't remember him being as, you know, the cock of the walk, if you will, type of player. Sure. Was he? Do you remember him like that?
He always played with attitude, Kenny. Yeah. I do remember. You know, he's got, you know, age will get all of us, so it just kind of, you know, put a little age on, some miles on him, and again, Boston's just laughing at him and what he's trying to do out there. Now, he could come back and have a great game tomorrow night. But, yeah, he always played with an edge, played with an attitude, and that's what's taken him to the heights that he's been able to go to here with Golden State. But, you know, they need some help. Yeah. Andrew Wiggins is trying, but they just don't have enough. Jordan Poole, you know, he was good for a little while. Klay Thompson doesn't look completely healthy to me. Mm-hmm. He may be, you know, another year away or 6 months away. He'll be back at it. But, it's been fun series. We had some blowouts, and you kind of turn it off later in the evening. Haven't seen all of it. But I like the way Boston's playing, you know, in the new format. When we played 30 years ago, this is 30th anniversary when I was on that Bulls team, it was two at home, three on the road, and then two back home. So now you're 2-2, 1-1-1. So this thing might go, I got Boston in six.
Wow. Austin in six. Well, Bobby mentioned Draymond back in his days in Michigan State. Of course, you're still there calling games with Dolph on the Basketball Network. And some breaking news here with Iowa basketball. Matt Gatens is coming home, going back to Iowa City, as he has been named to Fran McCaffrey's staff. No surprise, been speculated about plenty. That was a name that a lot of people were pointing to. Don't know if you knew that going into today, but the news is official. Matt Gatens, part of the crew. What does Matt Gatens add to this Iowa basketball staff?
Well, he adds to the family. I mean, he played for Fran, stuck around there. He played for Todd Licklider for the 3 years, and then Matt was a star player for the Hawkeyes. And then he got into coaching. So, you know, a family that's entrenched in Iowa City. His dad, Mike, was a player, was a good friend of mine. So, yeah, that's really good news to hear. I assumed it was going to happen, but as I told people, Fran knows a lot of people. And he knows a lot of coaches out there. I see these guys talking to him. Guys that, you know, the head coach you know is going to be gone at the end of the year at whatever school we're playing, he's always talking with them. But I think that's a great choice. And he's just, he'll be able to connect with guys. You know, he under Drake there, he did a great job. Bruce Pearl down at Auburn. So he's been around. So Fran requires a lot out of his assistants. They're responsible for the complete game plan, the complete scout. They take ownership in that, so I think it's a great choice. Matt will do a great job.
Conversely, what will they miss in Kirk Sparrow?
Yeah, he would prepare great scouting reports, and he was their shooting guy. They called him the shot doctor. He'd try to work with the kids when maybe a little, you know, when the confidence was down. Yeah, that was a surprise to see Kirk announce his retirement. Haven't had a chance to get around to golf with him or anything yet to pick his brain, but I think it's time for family, for Kirk being there for 43 years, and he's lost his mother, and Tracy lost her mom, an Iowa City lady, this past year. So sometimes that stuff catches up, but yeah, Kirk's going to be missed, no doubt about it. He had a calm, level head to him, and, you know, he was a Lute Olson protege, come off the Lute Olson tree. He was, his first coaching job, guys, was the Final Four year, 1980. When he was our dorm monitor, yeah, he lived in the dorm with us and had to be, it was a grad assistant, elevated by the NCAA to full assistant status when Tony McAndrews, one of our main assistants, went down in a plane crash. Oof. He survived it, but after Kirk got his start. So, Kirk Spiro is going to be missed, as is Billy Taylor. Billy did an outstanding job as well, but he was on that path to become a head coach once again. So congratulations to all those involved.
I'm sure he was a great hall monitor because you guys never left the dorm, right? I mean, there was no way you made your way
too
down.
Too much homework.
No, exactly. That had to be an easy job for Kirk, right?
Oh, yeah. We laugh about it now, but there were some things he had to be the disciplinarian, and that's not really in Kirk's style to get after us. But when he did, you know, he was kind of like Luke. When he'd get after us, he meant business, but what Kirk will mention is that it wasn't just basketball guys on there. You had football guys on there, like Mark Bortz and Bobby Stoops and Bo Hannon.
Good luck.
We were all living together on the floor, and the wrestlers were 10 doors down on the third floor there.
Interesting. You know, since Bobby, how do you? We didn't talk to you about this, but Mac McCausland, how do you remember him?
Yeah, Mac, always around. His two loves were, number one, his family, his daughter and son, Kent, and then Hawkeye basketball. I mean, he's a guy that probably didn't score a point as a varsity player, but he had an incredible love of everything Iowa Hawkeye basketball and football. He had his tailgates going on. Him and Linda, his previous wife, they would bring cookies for us, drop them off up there in the dorm. So, yeah, it's where my first recollection of Mac, and always – always smiling, always friendly, always wanting to talk basketball. You know, it was his life. He was consumed by that, like I said, and his family.
So the big news, of course, a week ago, as Chris Murray announces that he is coming back, certainly changes the complexion of this Iowa basketball team. We all anticipate there's going to be a leap. There's going to be a leap like we saw with Keegan this past season. What are we going to see from Chris that is different than his brother? What kind of player do you anticipate we're going to see out of Chris Murray this year?
Confident. I think the process that he just went through in Chicago and seeing that next level, the opportunity that has been presented to brother Keegan, is going to be a top five pick in the draft, and everything that comes along with that, but also what you have to put into it. I think Chris is no problem with that. He saw Luka do it. You know, he'd been trained by Kenyon, his dad, alongside brother Keegan. But with the opportunity Keegan got this year, took full advantage of it. And all Chris needs is minutes on the floor and confidence. He just needs to, when that ball goes down for him, he's got a sweet-looking jump shot. The 29 points in the game against Indiana, a career high for him there. It's a game that I remember out of Chris. But it always looked like, you know, he had another gear. It's like, all right, he can go up a step further, or he can get after it. He's got a little nasty attitude to him as well. So I think you're going to see a similar player to what Keegan had. Now, it's tough to say he's going to improve his scoring by 20-plus points, but right. It was certainly good news, guys, when we all heard that Chris was coming back to the Hawks.
Bobby, was Keegan's step forward, was it apparent when you go back to November and the season started, was it, when in your mind, oh my gosh, this guy's really gotten better since last time I saw him. Was that apparent right off the bat last year?
Yeah, it was, and I told Kenyon that he'd come over, and he'd smile and kind of shake his head, too. It was like, you know, I knew the kid had it in him, but you never know until the bullets start to fly, if you will. And talked to Fran about it as well. He said they had a practice scrimmage, a closed, you know, the secret scrimmage, against Illinois State, I think it was, at home. And Keegan was far and away the best player on the floor at that time. And he said, I told the staff, it's like, we got a special player here. We got a shot with Keegan. So, yeah, I think it's pretty apparent. I only saw two bad games. Iowa State game, he was injured. He had the ankle, was hurting it. And then the final game, the Richmond game, for whatever reason, he couldn't get into the flow. And finally got going a little bit late. But those are the only two bad games I saw. And that's a superstar when you're consistent like that.
Freshman point guard Desante Bowen. I know making his way to campus right now, but what have you heard about him? And what has Fran said about Bowen? A possibility of having a point guard with a little bit of size, 6'3", he's got some length to him. What their anticipation is during his rookie campaign?
I think they're real excited. They're really, really happy to get him. And, you know, Aaron Ulis, I think, would probably be the point guard going in alongside Tony Perkins. But just a little bit of highlights I've seen, guys, of Desante Bowen. Some guys I know up in New York that around Siena, and said, wait till Fran gets his type of point guard, and that's a guy that can score it, can shoot it, as an assist guy, a setup guy, and he's got quickness. And that's everything Desante Bowen has that I've seen, you know, in these highlight reels that the high schools will send out or his prep school sends out. But, yeah, looking for big things out of Desante for sure. When I asked Fran about him, he kind of gives you that look, and he said he can really play.
Nice. Bobby, I Peyton Sanford's the guy for me. I wish I could buy stock in players, right, because I think he's about to take off. Love this confidence, and I think he's got a big step from his freshman to his sophomore campaign. How about you?
Yeah, I would agree 100%, no doubt. Good kid to talk to. You know, he listens, he asks questions, and he can really shoot it. It doesn't take him long to squeeze off a shot. And when Jordan was making all his shots, I get to go in the locker room and interview Fran up in the coach's suite, but I see Peyton there, and I'm like, you're going to be the guy that's going to break Jordan's Big Ten record. And he just smiles and laughs, and Jordan kind of gives him a wink and a nod as well. But, yeah, the kid's got talent. He's got skill. He's got size as well. He's got good size, so he's going to continue to develop into a really good player.
How will you remember Jordan Bohannon?
Oh, a lot of things. I think Jordan, clutch would probably be number one. Ability to make big shots, take over a game from the outside, a little bit like Steph Curry. Steph's probably got better ball handling than Jordan does. But, you know, another a young guy, little guy, that made his mark in college basketball with the ability to shoot and shoot from long range. Victories at Wisconsin. We hadn't won up at Wisconsin forever. Cordell Pemsel gets an offensive rebound, shovels it back to Jordan, and he drains it. And just so happy for him. And having gone to college with his father, spent a lot of time with Gordy and the football guys and good people. Built my confidence up. When your confidence wavers a little bit, Gordy always had a word of encouragement. And I think that's what he's done such a good job with the four boys, is they're all great kids, confident players, respectful. And, he's gutsy as well to do some of the things he's done, leave your shoes at Hilton Coliseum. I'm not sure I could do that. But Yeah, I mean, it made some money for the Children's Hospital, very generous. So, and cutting edge, NIL guys. I mean, look where the world is now.
Yep.
If it wasn't for, him and Geo Baker, and I can't remember the other kid's name that was involved, kid from Michigan, but man, they blew the lid off that during lockdown and COVID, and now it's wide open.
Indeed. When he purposely missed the free throw so he wouldn't break Chris Streak's streak. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget it. Hey, last thing for you, Bobby. I don't know how many Pistons games you saw and the ones you saw, whether or not Luka was part of it. What did you see in his rookie campaign in the NBA?
Yeah, I didn't see much, guys, to be honest with you. I just saw a kid that continued to grind. I know he's got the support of the administration, the staff up there. John Beilein is in Detroit as a consultant, I believe, really likes Luka. So, I think it shows that they like him when they took him off that two-way contract and made it a full-time contract, which means he went from about $500,000 to $1 million. So that gets him off to a good start. And you know what you're going to get out of Luka is 100% effort every time he comes into the gym, whether practice, game, or shoot-around. Kid's going to give you everything. So, hopefully Detroit can get a little bit better. They're struggling right now a little bit, but haven't heard anything on Luka and on will he be back or not. But it's a kid that, I've never seen anybody probably work harder and with more intent and purpose in his workouts than Luka.
Bobby, thanks for being so gracious with your time. Good to catch up with you. Enjoy the summer, Bobby Hansen. Thank you.
All right, man. You too. Thank you.
Yep, good to talk to you. Bobby Hansen. As we catch up with the former Hawkeye great NBA champion.
Love listening to him on the radio call. Does such a good job of breaking down the game, making it very understandable as you're driving around and trying to figure out exactly what's happening. And Bobby does a great job with it.
Indeed, he does. Some of the McCaffrey stories. I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
Yes.
We'll take a timeout, come back, finish up the hour. We're going to head to the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. Dane Muzzitani writes for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Check out on the Twins, on the Vikings, and the Wild, on the T-Wolves with Muzzitani, maybe a little Gophers. Does he do any college?
He has in the past. I don't know if that's part of his beat currently, but yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of a jack of all trades over there.
And he went to U up there.
Indeed, left Hawaii. What a culture change that had to be, right?
And he stayed there after college, too.
It's a beautiful city, but man, where he was born. And then Cappy joins us at 11:30, sponsored by Centurion Stone of Iowa. Miller and Condon on a Thursday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Problem, call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Well, Aaron Rodgers has found love, Trent.
Oh, finally.
He did. He's dating a witch. A self-proclaimed...
I think you...
No, not a... No, a witch.
Oh. You did just say that and...
No. She's a medicine woman who goes by the name... This is her legal name. She changed her name.
Uh-huh.
Her name is Blue of Earth. And you can find her on Instagram.
Is of her middle name?
Of is her middle name.
Okay.
Earth is her last name. Blue, B-L-U, of Earth. So... Aaron Rodgers, boy, he's a weird duck.
Looking for love in all the wrong places.
He's a hell of a player, but my God. Dating a self-proclaimed medicine woman. If you're on Instagram, she's Blue of Earth on Instagram.
Well, I had plenty of dalliances with witches in my day, so.
Yeah, I've married one. Not the current one. But my wonderful son was a product of that, so I can't be too pissed off.
Yeah, very, very right. True. So I'm still watching this live tour.
Mm-hmm.
The scoreboard is awful.
Is it?
It's absolutely brutal. So this is what they
different
have.
Different or awful?
Awful.
Okay.
Well, they have the team logo for the team competition that is a part of it next to their name.
Well,
that's
I didn't
fine.
Even know there was a team
oh,
aspect
yeah,
of
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Four teams. I think there's eight captains. They pick their team leading into the tournament.
Every week they pick new teams?
They have terrible team names, but... This is what it says as you look at the leaderboard. It's got the logo for the team,
mm-hmm.
and then B.Gray, G-R-A, and then S.Hor, H-O-R. It just has the first three letters of the last name. I don't know who P.K.W.M. is, but he's in first place right now.
P.K. Yeah.
Some guy from, I believe, the Asian tour. I saw him hitting a little bit earlier. I don't know who that is, but I'm watching here. Brooks Koepka. His little brother is part of this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Chase Koepka, who has bounced around, tried to make it a couple of times on the Korn Ferry Tour. He's played in the European Tour a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Has not been able to get his card, but He took the money. So I'm watching him. He's got a big old...
Did the Saudis think they were getting Brooks?
Well, maybe. Maybe. Right. He's wearing the same shoes. He's got his brother's kicks on, so...
Yeah. Got a Kepka.
Right. And they look very similar. Now, he's not, obviously, nearly as good, nearly as talented, but he's got a big old tin of Skol in his back pocket. I'm going to guess that's frowned upon on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, probably.
Just a little bit. So I went to his Wikipedia page, though, and I was looking a little bit more. This is the Wikipedia entry. As we know, you can, of course, edit it at any time. Most recently, Chase Koepka has sold his soul to the Saudi Arabian regime for an undisclosed amount of money and is a participant in the newly formed LIV Golf League champion by the slimiest of the slimy, Greg Norman and Phil Mickelson, one of the greediest scumbags to ever play the game. Now he can claim to have as much money as his knuckleheaded brother.
That's funny. I wonder how that long that'll stay up. But who's searching Chase Koepka's
guys
Wiki
like
page?
Me.
Yeah, guys like you. Well, we like to keep you informed.
Knuckleheaded
Aaron Rodgers
brother.
Is dating Blue of Earth, and Chase Koepka's on the LIV Tour. Hour number two coming up. Dane Mazzitani from the Twin Cities. David Kaplan from the Windy City. Trent's Play of the Day, sponsored by Circus Sports. Hour two next. Miller and Condon, 106.3 KXNO.